for the master. And no, I'm not J.J. Hendricks. And no, Ryan Smithy is not Chris Groda. Today we are sitting in for our good brethren that are called away to other works or to other duties. I believe, Ryan, that J.J. is traveling even for a funeral today out of town.
Right.
And I know that Chris is probably still at camp. Would that be Arklatex or somewhere
down there? I think he was maybe helping with wrapping up this last session of Ida.
Ida
ends
okay.
today, and so he was finishing that up and going to be on the road. So I want to remember both of those good brothers as they are traveling and to and from today.
Up and down the roads. J.J. texted me last night, said they were stopping for the night in Bryant, Arkansas, I believe it is. They were going to spend the night there and then try to go on into Ohio today. So certainly wish them good, safe travel. We always salute those that are listening on a regular basis. We know Miss Frida's listening. We know Miss Ann normally listens down there in Winsboro. And so many of you that are listening on a regular basis, I don't have my chat window up at the present moment, but we're certainly glad that you are here listening with us today. We go into chapter number 2 of 1 Corinthians, which is all about inspiration. And so we look forward to looking into that particular topic and the way that Paul would defend this inspiration. We normally start mornings for the master with bulletin board topics. And so we would remind you of a few things along the way this Sunday. At the New Boston congregation, we understand that they're having a great mini lectureship, as Kevin refers to it. I know that many of you certainly will be in your home congregations, but if you do have an opportunity to worship with them, Trevon Buchanan is going to be there at the 9:30 hour as they start to talk about God's home, and he'll be talking about a place for children at the 10:25 worship hour. John Warnes is going to be discussing a gift from God. And at 1 o'clock, I'm not sure how that's going to work out because J.J. Hendricks was supposed to be there Sunday. So anyway, someone, perhaps even Kevin, will be discussing husbands and wives. And then at 2, Andy Baker is going to be talking about an eternal purpose. And in that evening, when they reassemble that evening, Kevin's going to be talking about give us Christian homes. And so what a great mini lectureship that's going to be. Kevin has encouraged you to call him. Their number there is 903-628-2891.
All right. And also next week on Monday, there will be the next session of the Northeast Texas Summer Youth Series. And that will be Monday, July 11th, and that's going to be at Maud, Texas. And this week we are discussing worship. Mm. And so reclaiming God's vocabulary, what does it mean to worship?
Yeah, so many of these words that we're studying have been taken out of context and even stolen, as it were, by the religious world in general. Also, there is a great series going on referred to as the North Texas Family Summer Series this last week. Let's see, today, July the 7th, I misread this. The Briar Church of Christ with Robert Moss is going to be discussing I Love the Cross of Christ. And then on next week, July the 14th, I Love Living Morally with Richard Massey. That was yesterday. I got my days all mixed up, brother. Okay, so each Thursday, right? So yesterday was at the Briar Church. Next Thursday at the Las Vegas Trail Church of Christ, Richard Massey is going to be speaking on I Love Living Morally. And so they have encouraged you to get in touch with Ross Hafner if you want any more details on what's going on in this area. And his number is 940-329-0882. Why I Love Being a Christian, a great Thursday night series throughout the summer, taking us into the August 18th hour.
All right. And also want to make you remind you of July 15th through July 17th at the Blanchard Church of Christ in Shreveport, Louisiana. It's going to be a lectureship, Prepare to Make a Defense, or gospel meeting here. And it deals with the ideas of apologetics, the existence of God, the reality of suffering, inspiration of the Bible, fact and recognition or significance of the resurrection. And this is going to be with Bart Warren. And we had had some questions maybe concerning if this was the son of Thomas Warren. And if my information is correct, this is actually the grandson of Thomas Warren.
He
works with the Warren Apologetic Center in Knoxville, Tennessee.
All right.
And I believe that is correct information there. I hope so. But again, the Blanchard Church of Christ in Shreveport, Louisiana, July 15th through 17th, prepare to make a defense.
All right. What a legacy in the Warren family then. Coming up right down the road from us at the Oak Grove congregation is this great gospel singing that they're planning on Friday, July the 15th. It's going to be from 7 to 9, and afterwards, David and Janice are going to have everybody over to their house, and they've got a beautiful home and are well able to entertain the masses. But he puts down here in parentheses, maps to their home will be provided at the singing. So my understanding is you have to come to the singing in order to get directions to their house. And so you've got to come to both. You've got to come to the singing and to the fellowship afterwards. What a great opportunity that's going to be. And so, again, that's next Friday, July the 15th, at the Oak Grove Church of Christ, that great gospel singing from 7 to 9.
And while a lot of camps are starting to wrap up, there are still opportunities. Camp Arklatex wants you to know about a singing school week, July 31st through August 5th. And this is going to be hosted at Camp Arklatex. That is just a little southeast of Shreveport, and focusing on leading singing, learning more about singing ourselves, and then also just having a good time together. It's for ages 3 and up, and you can visit camparklatex.org, and they would probably want you to know that their buildings there are air-conditioned, so even though you have the heat of August, you'll be able to learn in comfort.
All right. Well, we've got some things coming up in August, but we're going to wait a week or so and start bringing those things to you. I know your calendar's already full. Mm-hmm. I know there's VBSs, even at the end of the month, I think the 30th, North Jefferson's having their vacation Bible school. And then the next weekend, ours kicks out August the 6th, that particular Saturday. So a lot of announcements around us that we haven't even touched on yet, but certainly your July is filling up quickly. And we're hoping that, you know, you can be benefited by the bulletin board here as we have those opportunities to announce things. We would encourage you, even as the introduction came on the radio, that you can contact us and let us know if there's something that you want us to announce for you. You can call us here at the office at 903-537-4129, or you can probably get in touch with Ryan one way or another through office at tgrn.org, or if you've got a programming note, something that you've heard today or something that you wanted to comment about today, you can get in touch with us through mornings at tgrn.org.
I want to throw out one last thing there, Chip.
Yeah.
And I know last week, if you were trying to listen in all week, that we had some problems on Monday and Friday with those episodes not airing live. And if you happen to miss those, both of those have been placed in the archive, so maybe you missed Romans chapter 13 with J.J. and Chris last week. That is there, and also Romans chapter 9. Both of those had some problems. And so go to the on-demand section of the website, and you can pull those up if you certainly don't want to skip over a chapter there as we go through the study of God's Word, so you can catch up on those if you happen to miss them.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing to even consider that by the end of the year, if the Lord wills, we'll have the entire Bible or the entire New Testament archived chapter by chapter with the various speakers and opportunities. And so what a great thing this is. Today, we then have the opportunity to go into 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. And we're thankful for the opportunity that allowed us yesterday to hear Brother Chris McElyea open the book, gave us just a little bit of input there and some background information. And he went into chapter number one, even mentioning division and some things that were a problem. And so today we have the opportunity to kind of build on that study with Paul's teaching here, chapter number one. He puts a real emphasis, it seems, on God's wisdom versus man's wisdom. And today, as we talk about inspiration, he's going to discuss, you know, the idea that he preached the gospel in a manner that really ran counter to the dictates of the day. And so he's describing, even though he was a well-educated man, I could not even imagine standing toe-to-toe with him in a debate. But he says the real source of what it is that he's teaching, you know, comes from heaven. And so we see that at chapter 3, you know, we'll have the opportunity Monday, I'm sure, to understand that really, at the end of the day, God's the source of all genuine conversions. You know, God is in control. We plant and we water, but it's God that gives the increase. And so I guess basically we could kind of break this down into three reading sections, maybe 1 to 8 and maybe 9 to 13 or so, and then we'll end up with the last couple of verses as we talk about having the mind of Christ. So I tell you what, let's begin reading together, and let's read the first 8 verses together, if you don't mind that, brother. We'll start out that way.
And I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
Yeah, well, isn't that something, if they would have known it. And so notice as we launch out, he says, when I came to you, you know, I didn't come with smooth words, excellency of speech. However, I bet you that he was an excellent teacher, being trained under the feet of Gamaliel. I know that he had a way of speaking. So many times in the scriptures, I remember he beckoned with his hand, causing us to realize that he was about to speak. And what amazing knowledge he would have. But it wasn't this education that was doing the instruction. What he's going to show to us here is that it was the wisdom of God. This excellency of speech, this superior eloquence, you know, when I watch some of these guys, brother, you know, on GBN, I listen to David Profater, you know, even in the opportunities. That man, he's got a radio voice. You know, I'm telling you what, he can really speak eloquently. But you know what? He's speaking eloquently from the Word of God. Mm-hmm. It's a talent that he has. But here he says, I didn't come to you with this eloquence of speech, you know, throwing out these smooth things. What I came to you was bringing the power of God. He would tell the Romans in the first chapter, it's the gospel is the power of God. And so I'm coming to you not with this, ability to speak as a public orator, you know. That was something that he did, but necessarily he came with the wisdom of God. And so as he had opportunity, he would preach what? The death, the burial, and the resurrection. Those things that we read of in 1 Corinthians 15, the first couple of verses there. And so he says, I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. This idea of being resolved, he's determined. so often, and even, you know, we're going to see that he had determined to go in various places, but the Spirit had directed him in another way. You remember how he ended up at Tarsus when the Macedonian call came? He was thinking he was going on into different parts of Asia. Was it Bithynia and whatnot? He was going other places, but the Spirit directed him. Well, it's no different here. The Spirit directed him. The Spirit would direct all those, certainly, that we see coming forth out of Jerusalem, those that were endued with power on high, that we see even at the beginning of Acts 2. And so these individuals were directed by God. And we have this beautiful opportunity to see what it is that God has to say through these men. I love that idea of being directed by God.
I couldn't help but think throughout all of that about the word balance that we need to use from time to time. And, you know, there are those that will say, well, we don't need to worry about the presentation. We need to worry about presenting the truth of God's word. There's truth in that statement. But I think we also need to challenge ourselves to always present the Word of God in the best possible way that we can. And so it serves us well to hone our skills as a, as a presenter of God's Word, but to be careful that it doesn't become about the show. And I think that's what Paul is really reminding us here. It's not about the show. It's not about what Paul could say or about being impressed with my wisdom or my ability of speech, but it's about presenting that gospel message so that you could understand it and be able to know it, follow it.
Yeah, there's a way to draw an audience in. You know, one of my go-to examples, I guess, one of the most talented men in the Brotherhood, in my personal opinion, is Robert Taylor. That man, as you have mentioned in your Telstar archives, is like, he stands up, he speaks for 37 minutes, and he sits down. And I don't know that he's got a watch. I don't know, you know. He is an incredibly talented man. And I could sit and listen to him for hours, but he has a way of speaking. And it's a way that would draw you in. It's a different way. It's probably different than what I would use. Years ago at the school, I was privileged to see Paul Sain come and present a lesson through the means of PowerPoint. I was completely blown away. I had never seen that before. Now, I had seen, you know, overhead projectors and things of that nature. But the way that we do it, you know, there's a different way to connect with different kind of people. You know, I would imagine that I'd preach a little bit differently, perhaps in a jail cell, than I would, you know, in front of a congregation of 100 people. There's a different way of presenting, but the facts are always going to be the same. You know, the inflection of my voice, the tone, the things that I use are probably going to be different in different settings, different subjects, perhaps. You know, I might preach a different way about hell than I would of heaven, you know. But the truth is still going to be the same. And so he says that he came not with excellency of speech, but he came, even in verse 3, in a spirit of weakness, or not in, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. You know, the idea that he was scared to go out and preach, that's obviously not true, because we've got records like 2 Corinthians 11. It showed me that he wasn't scared. I mean, all those things. I mean, if I got whipped once, I might be scared to do it again. But he went out and received stripes after stripes after stripes, imprisonments, you know, all these things that he faced. The idea is the overwhelming job in front of him, I believe. You know, all the souls that are lost, you know. And sometimes we say we don't have enough time in the day for this or for that, and something doesn't get accomplished. That's what I see in him, that he had so much to do, so many souls to convert, so many to preach to, that it was kind of intimidating at times. But notice, even as you look back to a passage like Acts 18, the Lord says, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. Here's that idea of comfort that he was to receive. But yet the task was heavy, wasn't it?
It was. And I mean, just think about where he's been in Greece already. He's been whipped and put in prison in Philippi. He's been driven out of Thessalonica and Berea by the Jews that hated him. Not a great record coming down into Corinth.
No.
And yet here he still has the courage, the trust in God to keep doing this work. And then when he's emboldened there, Corinth is going to be one of those cities that wasn't likely to receive the gospel, but was one of the great success stories at the same time.
Absolutely. He says in verse 4, as you read a moment ago, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words. That goes back to what, Isaiah 30 or so, about verse 10, I think it was, with those smooth words, those tickling thoughts that the people wanted to hear, you know. He said, that's not what I came with you. He said, the idea of man's wisdom, man's teaching, man's education, even those things that he learned from Gamaliel, but in demonstration of the spirit of power. This is the idea of inspiration. You know, how God's mystery, as we'll touch on in a minute, was revealed to us. Those things that people wanted to fully understand in days gone by. But now, I mean, we should really appreciate the privilege that it is for us here in this last dispensation of time to have it revealed unto us. Now, there are some things that we stumble on from time to time that I don't fully understand, and maybe that's got something to do with my inability, certainly not the Spirit's inability. But there are some things. I mean, we can fall back on Deuteronomy 29:29, right? The secret things of God. I mean, there's some things that we're just not going to know on this side of eternity. I don't know all the full details of heaven. Mm-hmm. I've got a lot of pictures into heaven, what I imagine heaven to be. I know it's there. Jesus said he's going to prepare it. But some of those things just aren't completely clear to us. But farther along, that's a song, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Farther along, we'll know all about it. So we have this idea of inspiration being showed to us. And from time to time, the opportunity that he had to perform a miracle, a sign from God that would confirm the message and the messenger. Remember the end of Mark, the end of chapter 16, you know, Jesus working with them. And so as these miracles, these confirmations would come forward, it would prove that the messenger and the message were from God. They were God sent. Why? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So many today, isn't that the problem? Well, let me go ask my pastor. Or let me pull it up on demand and listen to what that preacher said again. I can't remember. We ought to have the same response as Paul did on several occasions. I think it was Romans 3, about verse 4. What saith the Scriptures?
Mm.
That's the question that we need to be asking on a regular basis. What does the Bible say? And, you know, Ryan, I'm sure you've had the same question asked of you. Somebody will say, well, I know you're a preacher and you know the Bible a lot better than me, or some kind of smooth word like that. And they'll say, so what do you think about, well, it, you know, thank you for the compliment, but it doesn't matter what I think or what I say. Let's go to the Bible and look at it. And that's what I see Paul saying over and again. You know, even, what was it, chapter 15, I'm forgetting now, of Romans that we looked at. Scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture. He was quoting scripture, you know.
Right.
And that's the way we should do. Go back to the scriptures. Verse 6, he said, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world or of the princes of this world, these rulers, these individuals of high places. You know, I think about Felix. Wasn't Felix a ruler, maybe a prince of this world, as it were? And when he heard of righteousness, doing right, God's wisdom, God's will, temperance, self-control, of which he had none, evidently, and the judgment to come, Acts 24 and verse 25, he trembled. You know, he said, well, not right now. And so here is this idea of the princes of the world, what they thought, what they felt, how they received. And we don't have a scriptural account that Felix was ever converted, but he certainly had opportunity to hear the truth. And so he heard the righteousness of God, not the wisdom of men. And that's what Paul was all about.
And it's sad there, but it's a reminder, you know, how many rely on the wisdom of the world, and we see even today those that will mock and make fun of the Christian religion and mm-hmm. of God itself. And yet the comfort we can take by knowing all that wisdom as such, that worldly wisdom, it will come to naught.
Right.
One day everyone will know the truth of God and the truth of His Word.
Right, yeah. Exactly. You know, I think about some of these role models in the world today, Ryan. You know, you see some of these big basketball stars, or you might see individuals that have an opportunity to speak publicly in a forum that you and I would never be blessed with. You know, maybe, you know, as it pertains to abortion or homosexuality or something of that nature, and a Susan Sarandon or a Shaq O'Neal or somebody will stand up, and people are drawn to them, and they're influenced by what they say. And will follow after what they say, because they're such important people. And this is the idea of the wisdom of man. You know, somebody, you know, even in these political rallies, you see people in the background. I saw, you know, John Bon Jovi standing in the back of one of Hillary's presentations. What does that say? I support Hillary. And so anybody that likes John Bon Jovi and his music, or appreciates, you know, what's going on with him, might be influenced to a Democratic ticket because of what he thinks or what he says, and how sad that is. But we speak, verse 7, the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And I'm always reminded of a passage like Revelation 13 and verse 8, you know, the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. You know, this was in motion before God breathed anything into existence. He had a plan for how to take care of sin. This mystery that would be revealed, even in this third dispensation of time, that which is recorded in Ephesians 3, the first couple of verses there, he said, when I write, you can understand. You know, he had received wisdom through the instruction of the Spirit, and isn't it comforting to know that when he wrote it down, you and I could understand it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people think, I can't understand the Bible.
Right. And again, I would highlight there that idea that how many want to talk about a mystery and that idea these things are difficult to understand. And mm-hmm. yet realize we're speaking of, you may be getting here, but a mystery, because it was once only in the mind of God,
mm-hmm.
and then it was revealed to man. Paul's dealing with the time now in which that revelation is being made known. That mystery is being unfolded before men. And so you can read, you can understand these things, you can know the truth of God's Word.
Don't we kind of, you know, get a glimpse into that? You know, when Philip joins himself to the chariot, you know, we understand that the eunuch was reading, even from what we have in our English Bibles, is Isaiah 53. And he says, is this man speaking of himself or somebody else? See, man didn't fully understand what was going on. But, you know, as it was instructed him that day, mm-hmm. he taught Christ from that very verse. And ultimately, he was immersed and added to the kingdom. And so we can understand now the beauty of the Scriptures. I think it was like Romans 10 at about verse 4, Christ is the end or the goal of the law. And so we need to understand that, you know, the Old Testament continues to say Christ is coming, Christ is coming, the church is coming, the kingdom is coming. All these things are a great big neon arrow in the night, as it were. And now, even as they stood up on the day of Pentecost, Peter would say, this is that. That Joel was speaking of. Here's the mystery, friends. Here it is. And at least 3,000 understood what was said that day and comprehended and were immersed and added to the kingdom. And so this idea of a mystery, you know, when you read an Agatha Christie book, you don't know what's going on at the beginning, but by the time you get to the end of the book, you understand who did it.
Mm-hmm.
And so once there's more information that's revealed, you get the mystery. And that's exactly what was done here. It is opened. He opened and alleged, right? He opened and taught. He reasoned from the Scriptures. People searched the Scriptures daily, Acts 17 and verse 11. People studied to show themselves approved. This is the idea of looking for that additional information that's been provided by God, but we've got to do the work. Verse 8 you read a moment ago, none of the princes of this world knew, right? And you see Pilate, even as we talk about our VBS in August the 6th, what shall I do with this Christ? He didn't know what to do. He didn't understand this moment in time and what was going on. Those that were screaming, crucify him, right? They should have understood. These Jews should have known who Christ was because they had the stewardship of the scriptures. But they just didn't get it. And so we understand that they would not have crucified God, God's son, if they would have understood what was going on. Howbeit, we know that this was in the mind of God from the foundation of time. And it must take place in order to cover the sins of man. And so these first eight verses are certainly powerful, a powerful introduction to at least the last eight in the beginning of his work, you know, as he continues to build his argument in the book of 1 Corinthians, that first letter. But notice in these next couple of verses, we'll say like verses 9 to 13 or so, how God revealed his infinite wisdom to mankind. We're talking about revelation and inspiration conjoined. So let's read together, if you will, if you've got your Bibles with you handy, verses 9 to 13.
But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual.
You know, immediately I'm drawn to this question, Ryan. You know, how would you know about, say, something like the Antichrist? Mm-hmm. Unless you open the scriptures. I mean, you're not going to hear that from the White House. You're not going to hear that from, you know, just somebody walking down the street. The only way that you're going to find out about heaven, the only way that you're going to find out about Adam and Eve or the Tower of Babel or any of those things is to open the Word of God. Mm-hmm. The divine record. And so those things that God wants us to know, those important things of life, all things that pertain unto spiritual godliness, the life and godliness, they're found in this book. And so anything that has to do, what's the Bible? B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth, all those things that we need to get us to that heavenly realm around the throne where we can praise God forever, is found in this one book. And so as you began, he says, but as it is written, seems to me like he's pointing back at a passage like Isaiah 64 and verse 4.
Right.
Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. What a beautiful thing to be able to say. God loves you. God is concerned about you. God has given you a soul. He's given you the breath of life. And you are a steward over that which he has given you. Take good care of it. Take tender care of those things which God has given you so that you can spend eternity with him. We're privileged to be able to sit here together today and be able to look at the Word and realize God loves us.
And understand here is probably one of those verses that would have to top a list of misunderstood verses. Because so many times someone wants to read this and say, oh, he's talking about heaven. That must be. And the thing is, we have some recordings of at least man's description of as much as he can in our language of heaven. John gives us some detail in Revelation. We know a few things. But we have to remember where we're at. We're in a chapter that's dealing, as you've mentioned time and again, inspiration and revelation. And when we think back to Isaiah, here's a prophet of God that's giving prophecies of things to come, but doesn't fully understand all those things yet, doesn't know fully what he's saying. And if can, I'll jump over to 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. And I always have this image here of even the angels of God and of the prophets that were speaking of things to come, even Isaiah that's speaking of the suffering Christ and the kingdom that's going to come. There was a lot they didn't know. And it's this reminder, these things didn't come from the mind of man, but they were being revealed from the mind of God. And that's how we know them. Just as you talked about the Antichrist or other things, what do we know of God? We don't know anything of how he longs to be worshipped. We don't know of anything of truly of his nature or any other such things, except they're revealed to us by inspiration. And that's the beauty that I always love looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. That we have the treasure we have, the very mind of God revealed to us.
Yeah, and we should certainly treasure that. You know, this idea of inspiration is so very beautiful. You know, he talks about eye hath not seen nor ear heard. You know, I kind of think about the difference as being discussed here between man's wisdom and God's wisdom. You know, you look back to Abraham and Sarah. You know, here we are so old in life, and we're going to have a multitude of children. I mean, how does that work exactly? And so man's wisdom says what? Here, take Hagar.
Can't be done.
Right, take Hagar. Yeah, I mean, can't be done, right? She laughed, right? She laughed. Chapter 18 of Genesis, I believe it is. And so we you know, man, even today, laughs at this idea of, oh, immersion for the remission of sins, you know, the magic water, you know, all these ideas that people laugh at. You know, if God said to wear a red T-shirt every Tuesday and Wednesday in order to be saved, I'd do it. I wouldn't necessarily understand why. You know, I could believe that he said that I had to do it. But people laugh at the wisdom of God even today and sneer. The atheist, you know, condemns the Bible, says that it's a book of mythical writings and whatnot. But you remember what Jesus said down in Matthew chapter 13, beginning of verse 16. He said, but blessed are your ear for your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. And so, realize the importance of where you are. You're in this last dispensation of time before Christ comes, and hopefully he'll come tonight. But notice that we have the opportunity to see and understand, even as we mentioned in Ephesians chapter 3 a moment ago. You know, when it's written down, you can understand. I've heard, Ryan, several different options down through the years that the Bible's been written on about a 7th or 8th grade reading level. Don't know how accurate that is, but certainly it's easily understood. Now, there's going to be some meaty passages that we have to kind of, you know, search into, and certainly the Bible is its own best commentary, and so we can come to an understanding of what the Scripture means by the Scripture itself. But notice that God revealed these things unto us. You know, he is concerned about you and me. He's concerned about spending an eternity in heaven together. You know, you see this distraught situation in the early days of Genesis, and Eve and Adam being cast from the garden, that wonderful relationship destroyed because of Satan and even one word. And so today he seeks that relationship with you and me. And it's made possible by the blood of his son. It's made possible by obedience to the gospel that saves men's souls. The same thing we talked about in Romans chapter 1. But he has revealed those things unto us by the Spirit. There's so many times, I think John 14 through about 16 talks about the Comforter coming, the Spirit that's going to lead them. John 14, 26, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, which the Father will send in my name. John 16 and verse 13, the Spirit of truth is going to guide you into all truth. 1 Timothy 4, Paul told the young preacher, the Spirit speaketh expressly. That which is told to us, that which we know, that which we understand is made possible by God and the work of the Spirit. You look back and you see the Spirit of the Lord speaking, even as you look at a passage like 2 Samuel 23 and verse number 22 or verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me and his word was in my tongue. God has a message and he's made us this avenue of preaching even today. He used it, through the men of the Old Testament, as we see, gave the word and put it in their tongue. The instruction that was given to some of these men directly, we understand how that works. And now notice that it's been given through these individuals that wrote the New Testament for us. And so now we have the inspired word of God today. And so don't take it lightly. Mm-hmm. Well, it is a very important thing. It's something that's been in the mind of God from the foundation of time. What man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? You know, Ryan, I don't know what you're thinking right now, but I imagine if you told me, then I'd know what's on your mind. Mm-hmm. We had an opportunity to talk for a little while yesterday, and I know that maybe a garage sale is in your future. How would I have known that unless you would have revealed that to me? And it's the same way with God, isn't it? As he reveals his will unto us, how would I know that baptism is the point of salvation unless I read a verse like 1 Peter 3:21? I have to open his word and read it and find what it is that he has for me. And so we can know the mind of God. We can know the revelation from heaven if we'll just open it and read it. Yes, go ahead.
I'm just thinking there, we talk about the idea of treasure and how many would go to great lengths to find earthly physical treasure, mm-hmm. There's a somebody said there is a founder's chest of gold in Franklin County here in northeast Texas. This whole county would be torn up. Yeah. Tractors digging everywhere. But apply that same standard here, the treasure we have of God's word, and what are we doing with it?
Mm. Yeah, we have the privilege of years of scholarly works. I am thankful, really, to be able to go back and study original Greek words. Mm-hmm. This idea of striving to enter in through the straight gate. You go back and study the word agonizomai. That's a word that shows me that great agony, great effort, great trial, a lot of testing, a lot of tears and fear and all that goes into entering in through the straight gate. And so we understand more what the Spirit has for us if we go back and study some of those words. And so we have a privilege of studying the original language because I'm telling you now, the Spirit used specific words to get across specific meanings. And as you notice from time to time, there'll be a word like servant that shows up. And you'll find out that maybe it's slave in one text, and it's this idea of servant or minister in another text, and there's an idea that has to be portrayed in that particular verse. And so you look at these words and you understand what the text is trying to cause us to understand, what the Spirit wants us to know. The Spirit of God has revealed that, and notice what he read in verse 12 a minute ago, freely given. Mm-hmm. Daddy always said, don't turn down help or don't turn down a free gift. Mm. He would go sometimes and open a bank account with $12 so he could get a free toaster, Don't turn down the toaster, man, And so we have these opportunities before us, and notice that it has been freely given. It cost us the blood of our Savior. The church was an expensive procedure. that which is given to us today. Think of all that Paul went through, 2 Corinthians 11, the things that he went through in order that we might have even what we have before us today. And so God has freely given us this beautiful gift of his mind, his will, and we are to give forth the effort to take it in, to drink it in, and be benefited by the bread and the water of life. And you read in verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You know, this idea of man's wisdom is hammered time and time again. He wants you to know, I know that you know who I am. I'm an educated man. I have much learning. But the things that I'm teaching you, they have nothing to do with my background or my education or where I was. You know, I was Pharisee of Pharisees and all this. What you're hearing today comes straight from heaven. And that's needful that we have certainly the mind of God revealed in front of us. I guess as we get into the last couple of verses here, we really get to understand this idea of man's wisdom and God's wisdom. And he uses this term, the natural man and the spiritual man, to help us understand this process of understanding a rejection of the word, as it may be, from time to time. The natural man and the spiritual man, he mentions in these last couple of verses as we read together, verses 14 through 16.
But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Man, what a beautiful thought that is. And so I was reminded, Ryan, immediately I wrote in the margin here, Galatians 6:1, because those that are overtaken in a fault, is it the natural man that goes to them and restores them? Well, certainly not. Paul told the Galatians that ye which are spiritual restore such a one in a spirit of meekness. And so those that have this this mind, a willingness to, don't you see that in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11? These individuals that wanted to know more, right? Richard, and you and I, we all have the same idea in the back of our minds when we stand in a pulpit, and that is, you know, take what I say and compare it with the Bible and see if those things, because if I've made a mistake, and Preston has told me on a time or two, hey, that was 2 Corinthians 2 instead of 1 Corinthians 2, you know, just something, and you know what, that's special to me because people are listening. Mm-hmm. People are searching those things, and so we need to be able to discern those spiritual truths. And so there are people in the world today, they've not got a clue what generations or revolutions is.
Right.
They're, you know, they don't have that willingness or that desire.
And I think there of Matthew 13 and Jesus reasoning for the parables. You know, there are those that have closed their eyes, they've closed their ears. They don't want to know the truth. Mm-hmm. But who was it that understood those parables? It was those that were thinking spiritually, and oftentimes it was those that were asking, what did you mean, Jesus, by that particular parable? And they would listen to the reasoning and learn the lesson.
Right.
And so many people that aren't searching, that don't want to know, well, these truths will escape them. But if we search for the truth, we can know it. We can certainly find it.
And so my understanding, and I'm sure there's several different standpoints on this, you know, depending on how you think about it, but seems to me that the natural man is the one that just really doesn't have a desire, the one who readily rejects as opposed to one who readily accepts. You know, we have an opportunity in our individual settings on Sundays and Wednesdays when the invitation is publicly extended. It's always extended, but we'll see individuals that have been touched, perhaps even by something that was said in a sermon that was from a scriptural background. that's an individual that's concerned about doing what is right, an individual that I would suggest to you that is a spiritual person, as opposed to the natural man who would sit there and listen and say, ah, that's a bunch of hogwash. Mm-hmm. You know, I can figure it out. Something along those lines. And so the natural man and spiritual man are two different people. And so the spiritual things belong to those that want to know the spiritual truth. Jesus told the woman at the well, you take this water, you'll never thirst again. And so do you really want it? Are you willing to dig for it? Are you willing to try? Are you that spiritual individual that is seeking to grasp, you know, this great value that is God's word? That's an important self-examination question, because we have to be digging. He that is spiritual, verse 15, judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. You know, the one that's spiritual judges all things, but is not judged of any man. That's something to kind of think about, isn't it? You know, those who were chosen and powered to receive and communicate God's word had the ability to distinguish between the truths of God and the products of human wisdom. You might remember, and we'll talk about it in a few weeks, in 1 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse 8, Paul says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. We're talking about the miraculous, and that was prominent in the first century for the edification and for the building up of the church. Today, we have the written word of God. We have it within our hands. We have it within our grasp. And to have it and to know God's will is to be able to discern, test all things, hold fast that which is good. We have that ability as the spiritual man. Hmm. And so we've got to, you know, just as you would tune in to the Gospel Radio Network, we have to tune in to what God has us to know. You know, and you think of Nicodemus. Wasn't Nicodemus a good guy? Mm-hmm. Nicodemus was one like I could imagine in Acts 17 and verse 11. Here's an individual that was seeking. He said, we know that you're a man of God, right? And but he kind of misunderstood this whole idea of the second birth, didn't he? How can a man enter into a second time into his mother's womb? But you know what? He was digging. He was searching. And the Lord revealed it to him. And so from time to time, I might have a question. I know some of my friends from time to time, you know, you might be in the barbershop or something, and they get into talking about the dragons in Revelation or something and the thousand-year reign or something. That's going. That's because they have these worldly eyes and these preconceived ideas as they go into such a book. And that causes a problem, and it causes our hermeneutic. There's a $34 word. It causes the hermeneutics to be off. And so we have to know how to study God's word. And, you know, even as you would study the Revelation, you could go back to Daniel, you could go back to some of the prophets and understand how to understand the same terminology that's being used many times in the book of Revelation. So we have to understand what it is that God wants us to know. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? Right? In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 30, who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or being his counselor hath taught him? Well, nobody, right? But God has instructed us. And so in order for us to have that mind of Christ, even as you would see in Philippians 2, beginning in verse number 5, guess what? We have to be like Jesus, because the Bible tells us that he was humble. He was a servant. He was concerned with you and me, and he went to the cross freely in order that we might have remission of our sins, in order that the church would be purchased with his blood, in order that we would be washed, Revelation 1 and verse number 5. And so if you can be like Jesus, if you can have those same thought processes concerned with other people, then you can have that mind of Christ. And it's through the revelation and the diligent study of the revelation of God through inspiration. You know, you see a picture of it, you know, this willingness, even in 1 Samuel 3, Ryan, you know, as Samuel is laying on the bed and God calls out and he says, "Here am I." And he goes to Eli, and Eli finally figures out, well, God's talking to him. You know, here's this willingness. "Speak, Lord, and thy servant will hear. Command, and he will obey." Is that us?
It needs to be. And that, and follow it up there with that full attitude. Speak, but I'll do it.
Right.
When we read it, when we understand it, be committed to put it into action.
Yeah, that's what James' thoughts were, you know, not just hearers, but doers. You know, in Atlanta, I know you've seen the sign. There's a sign, "Enter to worship," as you come into the auditorium. And then when you leave, there's a sign on the wall that says, "Exit to serve." Mm. Well, that's the thought. Here am I. Send me. Use me. Whatever I hear, I'll apply it to my heart, and I'll use it in service to God and ultimately glorify him. So what a wonderful chapter this has been today. Just 16 verses, but man, there's probably another hour or two of commentary that we could share with you today. But hopefully we've done justice to the passage today that deals with the inspiration. The opposite of man's wisdom is God's wisdom. And so that's what we've seen today, and I'm sure that that will continue, Lord willing, on Monday as Richard and Ryan talk about that. Chapter number 3. Thanks for being with us today. We love all of you, and we thank you for your continued listenership throughout the day. God bless you.
Been listening to Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. Remember to join us each weekday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, or catch the replay at 9 p.m. Central Time. You can also contact us at mornings@tgrn.org if you have any questions we can help you with, or if you have events you would like to submit to our bulletin board, or just with general feedback about the program or network. We would love to hear from you. As we've had opportunity to spend time with the Master this morning in His Word, let's remember His words in Luke 6:46, when He said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" He goes on to say in verse 47 and 48, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show to you whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." Let's show the wisdom of that builder and go now to live for the Master.